So use your imagination right now. No matter how old you are, you've heard of Dr. Martin Luther King, and you've heard about some other aspects. Maybe you've heard of Rosa Parks. You've heard of lots of people that had to do with the civil rights movement. And believe it or not, many people that played a big role in the civil rights movement are still alive. And many of the sites that played a significant role, whether it be churches, bridges, other buildings, restaurants, also still exist. And Dr. Linda Schifino, a professor in the Department of Mass Communications at Carlo University, is somebody who feels so strongly about the legacy of the individuals and places involved that she has helped to coordinate a trip that for 2 years now has taken students from Carlo University on a 2,300-mile journey to see some of the sites I just mentioned and to meet some of the people I just mentioned too. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad you're here today. And let me just introduce Gloria. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And what's your last name?
Marshman.
And can you just tell me where you're from originally and what year you are in at Carlo? Yeah, a little bit about yourself.
I'm from Pittsburgh, and I just recently graduated in December from Carlo.
Congratulations.
Thank
you're
you.
One of the freshest Carlo graduates possible. What's your degree in?
Bachelor of Arts in Communications.
Well, congratulations. And where did you grow up in Pittsburgh? What neighborhood?
Swissville.
Excellent. I lived in Edgewood for a while and also grew up in Churchill, so we're not too far away. Now, I'm really curious about your reflections, but before we talk about that, Linda, why? How? What you're doing is amazing, and I'm just curious how it all came about.
Well, it came about, Larry, because this course grew out of another course that I teach. I teach a course routinely, regularly, on social movements, and we've looked at the civil rights movement and women's movement, and we've looked at the anti-war movement, the environmental movement, and so on. But it's always the civil rights movement that provides some of the richest examples of the advocacy, how communication has inspired and sustained people as they struggle for issues of justice. And so when a friend of mine, Todd Allen, put together this tour some years ago, I thought to myself, you know, this is a way to get students out of the classroom and get up close and personal with some of the places that you talked about and to meet some of the foot soldiers, the people who were part of the movement. And so I like this tour because it does include not only visiting museums and monuments, but it includes visiting with people and listening to people tell their stories.
Do you know much about Todd Allen? Is he local?
Yeah, Todd Allen and I went to graduate school together, so that's how I know him. He's Dr. Todd Allen. He teaches at Geneva College, but he does scholarship in the civil rights area, and he's been doing this tour annually for over 10 years. I think it's 11 or 12 years now. And what's remarkable about this tour, I think, is that it's really for educational purposes. And Todd has been very true to that purpose. And also, he has traveled a good bit in the South and has created relationships, trusting relationships with the people that we meet. And so it culminates in this wonderful experience of meeting those folks.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Having heard about the tour from a number of students, I have a pretty good sense. But Gloria, tell me, I guess, what some of the highlights were for you. We probably could go on and on and on. I know we could about so many things. But tell me, I guess, what comes to mind.
There were so many highlights in the tour. definitely talking to many of the people that were part of the civil rights movement, Juanita Abernathy, Joanne Bland, Reverend Billy Cowles. There were so many firsthand experiences, people talking to us that actually lived during that time.
Let's talk about each of those three people, because some people listening might not know who they are. Now, Mrs. Abernathy was related to Ralph Abernathy.
Right.
Right. And can you, either of you, tell us a little bit about her and the role she played in this?
Well, Reverend Ralph Abernathy, he was a close friend of Dr. Martin Luther King. He played a significant role in the movement with Dr. Martin Luther King, and she definitely was like a foot soldier. She told us about many of the women's, like the women's roles in like many of the sit-ins and the bus boycotts, and many of the, they actually like played out like what Martin Luther King was actually preaching about. And then Reverend Billy Cowles, he was actually there when Martin Luther King was assassinated.
He was right next to him, wasn't he? So, you know, we think that Martin Luther King, any contemporary of Dr. King's, must be very, very, very old. But Dr. King was so young when he died that, you know, Reverend Cowles can't be, I'm sure he's very vital and still very active. Is that true?
Right.
Wow.
You know, Dr. Cowles, one of the most moving experiences for me, and there were many, was listening to Dr. Cowles talk about that last day of Martin Luther King's life when three preachers were in this motel room at the Lorraine Motel. And there was Dr. Ralph Abernathy, Reverend King, and Reverend Cowles. And when Reverend Cowles was telling us this story, we were sitting in a little church, in his church, and he said, you know, I sometimes ask myself, why am I still here? You know, there were three preachers, and I'm the only one that's left. And he said, he answered his question to us and said, I'm here to tell this story. And when he said that, I was sitting in the pews of this church with my students, and it occurred to me, we're here to hear this story and then tell this story. And it really resonated with me, the importance of oral history, the importance of keeping these stories alive, because as you point out, Larry, these folks aren't going to be around forever. I think it's significant that we hear their stories, we remember their stories, give respect to those stories, but then keep telling them.
Mm. That's a great, I don't want to call it an anecdote. That's not giving it justice, but a great lesson.
Yes.
From that trip. So you mentioned people, Gloria. What about places? Among your journey that you saw, does anything stand out?
One of the first places that we visited was the Woolworth Counter, where the Greensboro Four first did their first sit-in. So we got the tour of that, and it was like really inspiring to know that these four men basically started the civil rights movement with just their sit-in.
And you read about it, you see pictures of it. As a little boy, I saw pictures of that lunch counter, and there it is to see. Is it set up like a museum or?
Yes.
Interesting. And what state is it? And how can other people see it?
It's in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's part of the International Civil Rights Museum that was just dedicated 2 years ago in 2010. On the 50th anniversary of February 1st, 1960, when those four young men sat at that Woolworth lunch counter. And what's remarkable about that for me and what I share with my students is that these were four college kids, and they came up with this idea to do this sitting around one night in their dorms. And they were probably, 18, 19 years old? They were first-year college students. I think that's a really powerful lesson for college students, high school students, young children to hear, that you really do have more power than you might think you have.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, here's a time, pre-internet, pre-social media, and they got the word out to, and when you think about the bus boycott in particular, suddenly it became universal, and Rosa Parks was able to have a significant impact. I think it was 13 months, if my memory's right.
That's right.
Did you get to see anything related to Rosa Parks?
Yes, we went to the Rosa Parks Museum.
Mm. And anything stand out from what you learned about her as you did that?
Rosa Parks.
You probably knew a lot about her
right,
to begin with.
Yeah, we learned about her in school. She was one of the few people that you actually do get to hear about of the part of the movement.
They have a really cool display there at sort of this interactive museum piece at the Rosa Parks Museum in Montgomery, where there's an actual replica of a bus, and then there's a film that happens inside the bus. So you're looking at the film through the bus windows, and you see Mrs. Parks sit down, and you hear the bus driver telling her to get up. It's a very, very cool display.
Oh, that sounds incredible. I will tell you that there's a program called Democracy Now, which airs on several of our affiliates, including WRCT and WNJR in Washington. But you can find it online as a podcast. And they just did, there's a new book that's written about Rosa Parks, and they interviewed the author of the book. And they also interviewed or played some historic interviews with Rosa Parks that were really, really interesting to listen to. I'll write down how you can find that online. By the way, you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, Dr. Linda Schifino, Professor of Mass Communications at Carleton University, and the recently graduated Gloria is here from Carleton, and we're talking about the roots of the civil rights tour that they recently took. In addition to audio that I just mentioned featuring Rosa Parks, you can hear some very compelling audio from Gloria and five of her peers or near peers that went on this tour. There have been two iterations of the tour so far from Carlo, and you can listen to their firsthand reflections about what this tour meant to them. Just go to neighborhoodvoices.org, and if you search on civil rights or if you search on Carlo, it'll come up pretty quickly. And I think you would enjoy hearing that audio and maybe even incorporating it into listening that you want to do to get a sense of other activities going on.
You know, one of the elements of the tour and of this experience that you'll hear in those stories and that keeps coming up again and again is the music and the songs and the power of music and song to bring people together, to sustain them, to soothe their fears. And we heard folks talking about how they sang songs when they were in jail. They sang songs when they marched. It almost reminds me of that song from The King and I, you know, Whistle When You're Afraid. I mean, you can't be afraid if you're singing a song, and if you're singing a song with all of the people that you're locked arms with. And so the music and the songs that we learned and the people that we talked to that were inspired by that music was a very powerful and inspirational part of this experience, I think, for me and for our students.
Gloria, speaking of music, were you able to meet Rutha Harris?
Yes, I met Rutha Harris.
And I was astonished when Chinessa, who works with us, I don't know if you went on the trip the same year that Chinessa did. Chinessa Schuler, who graduated from Carlo about a year and a half ago, she was telling me about Rutha Harris, and my jaw dropped. I mean, Rutha Harris is one of the original SNCC Almanac singers, and I am guessing is 80 plus. I don't know.
I think she might be. I know she might be listening. I better be careful about Miss Ruth. But I don't think she's that old. Don't forget, she was the youngest of the four original Freedom Singers. So I think she might have been 18 or 20 years old when that happened. So she's probably in her, I don't even know that she's maybe 70. She's probably in her late 60s.
We're going to find out right now.
So she's going to be around with us. We're going to have this treasure of Rutha Harris around with us for a while.
She's 73. So you're exact. She was born in 1940. And so that's one aspect of this tour that I think is really salient, that we're not only not distant from the foot soldiers of the civil rights movement, but also, sadly, we're not so distant from those whose intolerance of people different than them existed and necessitated this movement, which, not to preach too much here, but which is just a reminder of why it's important for folks to understand and to try to understand one another. It seems as fast as society moves these days, it makes these things seem ancient, but they're not that ancient. I mean, here, Rutha Harris, I'd like to think I usually have a pretty good perspective. I'm surprised that she's 73. I would have thought she was much older.
Yeah. And you know, one of the reasons I teach the social movements course and I taught this course was that looking at how activism works and how people have changed the world makes us realize a few things. First of all, it makes us realize that we still need to keep doing this because, you know, we're still moving for, I think, what Barack Obama called a more perfect union. We're still working towards that. Our work isn't finished. And so we need young people who know how to do that. And one of the ways to learn how to do that is to see how generations before you did it. So once you learn how activism for social justice works, then you can apply that to whatever issue touches your heart. And this is very much in keeping with Carlo's mission, with the mission of our department at Carlo. So I think there are a lot of important lessons, not the least of which is to learn about the civil rights movement, but also to learn how to be an advocate and how to give voice to issues of social justice.
We just have a couple minutes. I knew we were going to have a very fast-moving time period, too. Gloria, are there a few other things you'd like to add?
I just wanted to say, Mrs. Abernathy talked about that, about how the civil rights movement had broken the door and created activism and gave Black people justice and stopped the Jim Crow laws and stood up. And she said that now it's our generation's turn to do the same thing. But in a different aspect, of course, but because racism still does exist.
Thank you for being here. Are you working yet?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about what you're doing?
Well, I'm not working in my field yet, but I work at the casino, Rivers Casino.
Well, that's a good place to learn, and you're going to use a lot of communication skills there. And also, if you're lucky, you might meet the person that is going to hire you, because you're going to make a lot of contacts and meet people there. I wish you the best of luck.
Graduates
of Carlo are known for how much value they have to offer. You'll whatever you want to do, I'm sure you'll be able to.
She will.
Dr. Linda Schifino, anything else you'd like to mention?
No, thanks for having us, Larry. It's just this continues the oral tradition of keeping those stories alive, so I'm grateful for the chance to do it.
Thanks. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start.